This is the Faith Conversations podcast. Here, we bring people of faith to the table for honest and authentic conversations about personal faith journeys and what it is like to have a personal relationship with God. Hi, friends. Welcome to the Faith Conversations podcast. This is your host, Jessica Cabrera. I'm really excited for this episode because I have a new friend, and her name is Lauren Luton, and I found out that Lauren would be really good for this episode through a mutual friend of ours, Amber Sharbo. And if you have been listening to the podcast for a while, or if you're brand new here with us, you can listen to Amber's episode. It was released September 9th of 2025. Just scroll down in the episodes in your podcast player, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you are right now, and you'll find Amber's story, which is titled God's Faithfulness Through Infertility, Amber Sharbo's Story of Faith and Hope. And let me just tell you right now that our friend Amber and her husband are parenting a beautiful baby right now. And so if you go back and listen to that episode, you will actually now you know like how that story ended, because she had not had this child yet whenever I interviewed her back in September of 2025. So go check that out. But Lauren is a friend of Amber's, I think like a best friend. And I'm super excited to just learn more about her journey, because ultimately we are here today because we want to know what God is like in our lives. We're pulling back the curtain, looking behind the scenes, and we're taking a look to say, okay, all these people out there who say they're Christians, that they're following the Lord, what in the world does that mean? And what does that look like whenever you put it into practice? So here we are. We're going to find out what that has looked like in Lauren's life. So Lauren, thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having me.
It's going to be awesome. Okay. So I would love to just learn about you. Okay. Tell me your background. And then also tell us your background of faith and how you ended up coming into a personal relationship with Jesus.
Yeah. So I was born to very young parents. My parents were 19 and 21. So we all were kind of like kids growing up together. And
you were growing up with your 19-year-old parents?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, yes. Okay. So because everybody was so young, they worked a lot and I spent a lot of time with my grandparents. But okay, let me caveat that by saying that there isn't a moment that I don't remember my parents not being at an event or, you know, at a school function or something important. But I did spend a lot of weekends sometimes with grandparents, which is great because we all lived really close together growing up in the suburbs of Detroit. So my grandma just would proactively just take me to church. And we kind of church
and you're hopped. In Detroit, Michigan.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes. Okay, the suburbs of Detroit. So my mom's mom took me to church. I didn't really understand it. You know, but we went. Sometimes my parents came if they weren't working. Sometimes they didn't. And it was just something I did. And then come, you know, around middle school, once I got a little bit older, my grandma, our church had moved to another building. It was a little bit far. My grandma's like, hey, like, we probably need to find a church that's a little bit closer. Do you want to have a say in like where we're going to go to church next? And it was really cool. So for a couple months, we went to different churches and I took notes on the different churches and explored their youth groups.
This was your first analysis for a decision.
Yeah. Okay. I had no idea about like denominations or anything.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just was like, what's the vibe? You know, and do they talk about Jesus? And, and let the decision of where we should go and worship God be upon what, like an 11-year-old or a 12-year-old, because I have so much spiritual wisdom. But I landed on a church that, you know, I really liked, you know, kind of continued to go to that church in and out of faith, you know, middle school, high school, because when you're, although my parents knew Jesus and knew God and my family did, there wasn't that structure, like that structure you think of like growing up in a Christian home. Right. It was kind of just like, you know, don't get pregnant, get good grades, you know, be a good person.
Kind of perform.
Yeah. Just kind of, you know, there wasn't, anything where I was like learning or teaching or value or anything like that. And again, my parents are amazing people. I'm so close to them. They were just doing the best that they did with what they had.
Right.
And my grandma was like really, really, really intense. So I was just trying to find my way around all that. I think, you know, I really started to own my faith a lot more when I got to college. I went to Michigan State.
Okay.
Big Ten. Also, you know, for how great of a school it is, also a lot of opportunities to not walk in faith at Michigan State. But somehow I got synced up with a guy I started dating who was a solid believer. And that really inspired me to kind of dig in more to my faith. And so I joined, you know, a Bible study. I started going to worship services on campus. And when that relationship fell apart, my faith also kind of fell apart. And I started to realize that I really anchored my faith and how close I was with God with my circumstances and my environment. I wasn't really owning it for myself. I was doing it performative for my grandma. And then this guy I was dating and, you know, oh, like, is it cool? Is it not cool? You know,
it's like a good thing to do.
Yeah, yeah. Like a good thing to do. And then I think I finally just hit a place in law school after that where I was just like, I need to own this for myself. Like, I need to have a relationship with Jesus because that's what I need to be doing. Like, Jesus is really, he came. Like, he came for me, specifically for me. And I don't know if there was kind of like a pinpoint in law school where I made that realization. I just
Were you going to church in law school?
I eventually did, yeah, after I kind of came to this place. I think I found myself being fulfilled with nothing. Like always just kind of that next thing wasn't fulfilling and then achieving that next thing wasn't fulfilling and that relationship wasn't fulfilling and that friendship and like weekends, you know, out at the bar or whatever. It just, none of it was satisfying.
Yeah.
And just in some quiet time with music, I kind of just came back to faith. Like God just started speaking to me. And then I recalled like a bunch of stuff from my childhood where he showed up in those moments or just different things just started popping in my head. And yeah, so I just started pursuing a relationship with God really for the first time for myself, not as a performative for somebody else. And then when I started meeting people and they wanted to date me, I would say, you know, hey, like, are you going to church? And if they're like, no, I'm like, oh, well, in order to date me, you kind of have to go to church. You don't have to have it all together because I understand what it's like not to have it all together. But you do have to be pursuing a relationship with God, like the God that I know, if like we're going to hang out. So that kind of got me going in terms of getting deeper in my faith. I did, however, get baptized when I was in college to kind of loop back to that. So when I was, you know,
in undergrad before law school. Okay.
Yeah. So I did get baptized, when I was in that relationship with that guy. So I did get baptized, which was really cool. But, you know, without growing up in an environment where you can kind of anchor into that or it's modeled to, you're kind of just at the whims of the air and you don't always know where you're going. But I think God really just got a hold of me in law school and I really just stayed on path, like stayed in the course of the church. I also just gained more confidence in myself and just stopped caring as much about what other people think.
Yeah.
And, you know, now that I'm in my 40s, I care even less about stuff like that. Yeah, and just kind of just speak on, you know, what, and it's my opinion. It's okay if you don't agree with me, but, type of thing. So yeah, I think that's a good summary of, you know, my faith. And then when I,
Well, one thing I'll interject here
because
I just hear you saying this and it just reminds me. I mean, because, you know, I've interviewed a lot of people and I absolutely love how when I'm listening to the next interview, how I'm like, oh, my gosh, I love how I'm hearing that right now because I've heard other people say the same thing and I'm recognizing the same God. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I think that that is just so cool. Those of you listening, if you go and listen to other episodes in this podcast, you're going to hear other people share similar stories. And the important thing about that is that that means you're seeing who God is and what God does. And I just think that's so cool. All right. So it sounds like you kind of had not only a fresh awakening to the Lord in law school, but you also started setting standards for yourself and standards for the way you were going to live your life and the people that you were going to be around and things like that kind of started to shift and change in that season of your life as well.
Yeah.
So, so since then, I mean, you kind of let the, you kind of let the cat out of the bag that you're in your 40s. So that tells us that there's been a little bit of life since grad school.
But Jessica, I did just get carded 2 weeks ago.
Oh.
So I'm feeling really in myself this week that people think that, you know, really I could be much younger.
Yeah. But we'll go that with you're that. Questionable whether or not you need to get carded. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Makes me feel relevant, loving that for myself.
Yeah. Well, you just keep on being excited about that. I support that fully. So there's been some life lived since those college days.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
A
lot of life.
Yeah. And I'm just curious. I want to know, okay, you made this decision to actively trust God with your life and to pursue some sense of righteousness, you know, like you're pursuing him at that point in your life. What would you say now, fast forward, you're in your 40s, how have you seen God? Like, how have you seen God show up? What, how has he stuck with you? I mean, you know, like, was that just old news or is it still going? I mean, tell us more about that and tell us about the evidence of God in your life over time.
Yeah. You know, I think God has really revealed himself to me when I dive into community and when I serve. After I left law school and moved to Northern Virginia, I really started to get involved in different types of service. I started out, you know, in high school ministry because, you know, I was in my 20s. That made sense. Just kind of walking through questions of faith with high school students, mm-hmm. but also discovering the answers myself as I'm researching those answers and, mm-hmm. and being comfortable with saying, I don't know, but let's find out. And then,
and while you're serving, you're also starting a career.
And I'm starting a career.
Okay. Yep. As a lawyer.
Lawyer. Okay. Yep. All right. Yep. And I, you know, I started working in the federal government, serving at church, but then really feeling called, listening to Dave Ramsey's podcast, really feeling called to get debt free. So then I took on a part-time job as like a connections director at a different church and an executive assistant to a pastor to make some side hustle money because I just wanted to get out of debt as soon as possible, as fast as possible. Because I was realizing a lot of my decisions were impacted by, you know, having student loans.
Uh-huh.
You can't give openly like to places where you see need or tithe openly if you're constantly tied to things of materialism or, you know, student loans. And so I worked my little tail off, eventually did my little debt-free scream. I paid off like $200,000 working some side jobs. But yeah, just took different roles at different churches serving. Whether
I have no idea how you were a entry-level lawyer and an executive assistant to a pastor.
Because I didn't have children yet, Jessica. And when you don't have kids, you have so much time. It's wild to me to think about how I would go to like 8 p.m. workout classes and like do this admin side job and then go to my day job as a civil rights investigator and attorney and just somehow figure it all out. It's amazing. The energy I had in my 20s and then going to my early 30s. But yeah, paid all that off. But, you know, what I found is there's different seasons and roles that you pick to serve at church. And if you're feeling a burnout, then that means it's time for a new way to serve because you need to have impact on more people. And the more impact I have, the more God speaks to me as well. So it's kind of a reciprocal relationship of giving back. And sometimes people think of volunteering, you know, it's like, oh, it's like another thick commitment. It's another thing. But I actually find it really life-giving and how right. God speaks to me in a lot of ways. Mm. So I wanted to call that out because through ministry and volunteering and serving others, that's gotten me a lot closer to God. Yeah. Have been to some different churches, served in some different roles. Eventually, you know, got married and had kids. And, you know, unfortunately for me, that marriage kind of became like an unsafe or really unhealthy place. I grappled with that for a bit because, you know, as a Christian, divorce is a really controversial topic. And you don't know of a lot of single moms in the church sometimes. And so, and ultimately, you know, that marriage ended. And I had to kind of start over.
Mm-hmm.
Which was a lot.
How far apart are your kids?
My kids are, gosh, they are about like 2.5 years
two
apart.
And a half
years. Yep. Mm-hmm. Both are now in elementary school. Mm-hmm. Going to, thankfully, a Christian private school in the area, which is a total testament to God that all of that kind of came together too. And so, yeah, they're the best thing in the entire world. Everything that I do is for them, with them at center. None of it has to do with me. I really think of motherhood as a ministry in and of itself. Mm-hmm. And God has purpose in that, even for single moms.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So it seems like, and I hope we can dig into this a little bit further, because it seems like you've had this career journey. Mm-hmm. You've had this like marriage, divorce, single, like singlehood before marriage, then marriage, and then divorce, and then single momhood. Mm-hmm. after divorce. And you have the parenting component and the way that you minister and serve in that way, along with volunteering roles in the ways that God has used you in that. And so it seems like if I'm looking in on just the beginning of what you've shared, it seems to me that God has been a consistent, consistently present with you. And also, you have been consistently coming to God about everything going on in your life, you know? And so I'd love, tell us a little bit. I don't know where you want to start. If you want to start with career or your marriage situation or you know, anything like that. But I would love to hear a little bit more about the way that you personally experienced that back and forth with God. You know, it's very mysterious that mm-hmm. the God of the universe actually intervenes and walks with us, and we abide in him and he in us, is a very mysterious thing for people who've never experienced this before.
Yeah.
And so let's put some, you know, flesh on that for our listeners and help them see what that's like through these different types of transitions in life, like career and marriage and so forth.
We'll start with the career stuff.
Okay.
Because I think a lot of people, even if they're not parents or single moms, I think it can be a relatable thing, particularly in the market today, as dicey as it is. I spent over a decade in the federal government, which was a really safe career, at least at that time, and mm-hmm. A solid career, and I loved it. You know, moving throughout FBI, DOJ, Department of Health and Human Services during COVID, which was a really fun adventure. And once I started to really kind of come to terms with the fact that I'm probably going to be a single mom and there's nothing I can really do to stop this train. I've tried, you know, personal counseling, individual counseling, books, podcasts, conversations, like countless hours of prayer and pleading that this would not be the direction that this would go in. I just came to realize that I can't control everything, which is really, really hard for a type A attorney to mm-hmm. realize that I don't have control of everything in life, because I like to naively believe that I still do, but I know that I don't. Yes, mm-hmm. God, I know I don't. So I moved to the private sector, to a big tech company, and I was there for, you know, about a year, and I was thinking, okay, this is going to help me prepare for single motherhood. You know, I'm going to be able to make the income that I need to make. And, you know, I'll be able to do this for my kids. And then came a wave of job eliminations all across big tech. And I lost my role. Oh. Despite my manager loving me, despite doing a good job, you know, I was kind of the youngest person on the team in terms of time mm-hmm. being there. And it was just, that was it. So I got, you know, a small severance package, and it was like, you know, thank you for your time. Goodbye. And that was a huge moment for me, particularly coming from what I always thought, like I always viewed my job and my role in an employment space to be something that I had control over. Because I, you know, I was very successful in my career. I got promoted pretty regularly. Never got a bad performance review, never had any issues with thinking about losing my job. And so it was one of the most humbling things that have mm-hmm. ever happened in my life. And not only losing a job that I thought I was really good at, again, not in an arrogant way, but just being confident in myself as a woman and knowing what my value is. That was when everything was coming to an end with the marriage. And so I'm like, how am I supposed to provide for myself?
Apart,
yeah. Right? Like mm-hmm. how am I going to provide for myself and these kids? And like, I needed that specific job. Like I needed that income. I needed those benefits. And like that was kind of a once in a lifetime role. And I didn't know how I was going to get there again. Mm-hmm. And I didn't feel like I had enough experience to get exactly that type of job again.
I'm sure you just, you probably felt like you kind of had a plan and like everything was quote unquote under control, in the sense of in the midst of some very hard time in your life where part of your life was kind of spiraling and you were like, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? I have to take care of my kids. And there is, you know, and then, but the work was the thing that you were like, I've got this. Like I can come to the table and like make it work. And then when that was pulled away, suddenly you're going, what in the world? How do I mm-hmm. survive this? You know, and I think that is, I've been there before. I know exactly how that feels. So tell me about, were you talking to God in this season, and how did you feel that God made himself evident to you through that situation?
I think I want to anchor on something you just said. You said, I can make this work.
Right.
I got this. I'm going to be able to do this. And I think that was the whole point.
Yeah.
Right. I was so anchored in myself, thinking, you know, I got this. Because when you're transitioning to those roles, like, and I think a lot of single moms relate to this, you know, you kind of are masculine, feminine, you're just running, you're anchoring it. I got this. And you're riding on yourself. Mm-hmm. And I think looking back, although I was talking to God, going to church, doing all the things, I wasn't really surrendering to him, mm-hmm. that full control of like, you got this, you're going to take care of this. I thought when I had got that job and I got out of the federal government that like, that was it, right?
That God was provided. That was your saving grace.
Yeah. Right? I was like, mm-hmm. okay, Lord Jesus made a plan. Yeah. And, no. And it was a really humbling time. I think, you know, if you had asked me before that, you know, oh, do you really understand depression, anxiety? I would have said no. I was very much a, you know, pull yourself up by the bootstraps type of person, you know, try harder, work out more, eat better, you know, you can do this. Like, there's no such thing as like, you know, mental health issues that like really become, you know, disabling. But I learned very quickly that those things are real, mm-hmm. and they exist. And those spaces can be really dark. Mm-hmm. Trying to raise my kids while process this massive loss, not knowing what was next, knowing I only had a few months of pay, and just not knowing what was next. And so praying in the dark spaces, having people pray over me, feeling physically sick, honestly, mm-hmm. from the stress of it all, surrender, worship music, sitting in my car, crying, moving my body, because our bodies are a ministry for God too. And mm-hmm. And so ultimately what ended up happening was God redeemed that entire season, and he provided me a even better job.
Okay.
At an even better tech company, in my opinion. And it was a higher salary than what I had at the other job.
Wow.
And it had great backup care benefits to take care of my kids. It gave me unlimited leave to take care of my kids. It gave me a better boss, free health insurance, everything. Like, wow. Things I couldn't even realize that I needed or wanted. God was like, I'm going to do you better.
I have something
after
different.
This season. Mm-hmm. Right. And so literally to the dollar of mm-hmm. what I needed, God provided it.
Yeah.
And the right team and everything. So that was huge. That was a huge moment for me as I pivoted towards this single mom space of God really stepping in and providing mm-hmm. for me.
Sometimes when we either we let go or things are kind of removed from us that are anchoring us, we think that that has removed our foundation, when in reality, God is building a firmer foundation for us. And it's not just about the job security and all that kind of stuff, but it's about the fact that he has a better plan.
Always.
You know, and it's not, and maybe sometimes for some people, the better plan might be selling everything and doing missions in Haiti for the rest of their life. And for some people, it might be going on to a better tech company with a better salary. You know, it's not necessarily about the, I just want to make sure all listeners understand the better plan is not always going to be the most like worldly rewarding or lucrative plan. But I do, but at the same time, I've had situations like this happen to me too, where it's like, I think the thing is that's going away is the thing that was going to be the answer. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And then God brings something else that I never would have imagined that is so much better than what I had before, you know? And it's like, man, I'm so thankful that I have hope in him. And then this, and then what happens in the circumstances is something that he gets to do for us, what is his plan for us, you know? So that's really neat how he kind of picked you up out of that pit and put you on a new and fresh path. And you're still working for that company today, right?
I am still working for that company today. And that role has really allowed me to step back into finding my purpose again and serving. Yeah. And in that, kind of in that midst of pain and that transition season, I kind of realized a lot of my passions that I had forgotten in my, my direction, and decided to start a single moms group, a Christian-based single moms group, to kind of help minister to other women, you know, just starting on that season or in that season or been in that season for a while, to create that community, because I do think this is a gap that the church really needs to stand in. Mm-hmm. I've seen them really go after, you know, widows. Mm-hmm. But single moms are kind of sometimes left on the sideline, and we don't really know where our community is, because we're not married anymore. And so we're not going to these couple-y things, and getting babysitters isn't always an easy thing to do, to like go out with friends. They might not understand that. And we're not like single in the sense that we can go and just do whenever we want.
You have to take care of your kids, right?
You have to take care of your kids, and everyone has, you know, different types of custody schedules, and, you know, everybody's kids are different. It's just so...
Financials are different. Yeah.
So mm-hmm. different. So, yeah, I started a single moms group and just launched that, and that started in January, so... We're in our first year, a lot of lessons learned, still evolving that group, but it's been a huge blessing.
That's amazing.
Both to me and I think to the people in that group.
Mm-hmm. One thing that I just love that, because I think it reflects the heart of God, that there's no one under no circumstances that is disenfranchised from relationship with God.
Nope.
But people can often feel disenfranchised from the church. You know, and so having leaders like you who've had life experiences where you're like, I want to turn my darkness into light for others. You know, I want others to know that God welcomes you to the table. It doesn't matter what your life circumstances are, what you've been through, or how it happened, or whatever the case is. And I see that a lot in my church of, you know, unplanned pregnancy ministries, mm-hmm. you know, ministries for folks that are struggling with you know, different addictions, all sorts of things. It's like, no, come, everyone is welcome at the table. And if we look at Jesus, Jesus spent time with people that the rest of society was saying were like sinners and outcasts and whatnot. And that was who Jesus was spending his time with. And so I love the fact that you're bringing some of that redemptive, restorative spirit to your space, and also God is showing you how you can serve others through your own struggles in life. So as we wrap up, I'd love for you to share with our listeners, just after all of this time and learning about who God is and what God is like and what his character is like and all of that, you know, what is it that you would like for them to know about God based on what you've learned over this time? And then what advice would you give to somebody who might be struggling?
Yeah. I think that the biggest thing I've learned as somebody who's a type A is he will bring the uttermost beautiful peace through submission, that God is consistent. He is kind, that he truly knows better. And I remind my kids of this all the time when I talk about my love for them, is there is nothing that can separate you from God's love.
Oh, that's so awesome. Thank you so much. This has been great. I've really enjoyed hearing your story, and I know that our listeners are going to benefit from it as well. So thank you for sharing us about how God's worked in your life.
Awesome. Yeah, no, thank you for having me.
Go to the description of today's episode to find more information about what we discussed. If you like this podcast, please click follow, share it with a friend, or leave us a review.
And get excited because new episodes release every week.